Today's Planet Earth, our living home, will be presented in Urdu. Its subtitles in Arabic, Olaxese or Vietnamese, Chinese, English, French, German, Indonesian, Japanese, Korean, Malay, Persian, Portuguese, Russian, Thai, Urdu, and Spanish. Assalamu alaikum, mahol dost nazreen. और हमारे प्रोग्राम ज़मीन हमारा प्यारा घर में खुश आमदी। आज की किस्त में हम बात करेंगे प्रोफेसर सलीम एच अली से, जो कि एक पाकिस्तानी नजाद अमरीकी स्कॉलर हैं और माहौलियाती अलूम के प्रोफेसर हैं यूनिवर्सिटी ऑफ वर्मोंट अमरीका में। इसके साथ साथ प्रोफेसर वाबस्ता हैं पाकिस्तान में माहौलियाती तहफ़ और तहफ़ बराए मादनी ज़राए के साथ। प्रोफेसर अली ने कई एक अहम मकाले तहरीर किए हैं माहौल को महफूज करने पर, और हाल ही में लिखी एक किताब जिसका उन्वान है ज़मीन के खजाने, ज़रूरत, लालच और एक काबले बर्दाश्त मुस्तकबिल। इस किताब में बहस की गई है कि इंसान कैसे निकाल सकते हैं और इस्तेमाल में ला सकते हैं ज़मीन के अंदर की नेमतों को, जैसा कि लोहा और सोना, नहायत ही माहौलियाती ज़िम्मेदाराना तरीके से। प्रोफेसर साहब जाने जाते हैं अपनी सालसी सलाहियत की वजह से भी और बहुत से अमानतदारों के दरमियान मसाइल के हल करने में मदद करने के लिए, जब भी किसी तरक्याती मंसूबे से जमीन पर असर पड़ता हो।
I also teach another class which is on environmental conflict resolution. And that's more of a seminar class where I use some of the techniques I developed in my research and practice in resolving disputes between corporations and communities on environmental issues. So, for example, the development of a new mine in some community, so it could be the development of a new highway.
Professor Ali अमेरिका में पैदा हुए और इस वक्त पाकिस्तान चले गए जब इनकी उम्र 9 साल थी। वो कहते हैं उनकी तालीम और तरबियत ने उन्हें मशरिक और मगरिब के दरमियान तहजीबी फर्क को अच्छी तरह से समझने की सलाहियत फराहम की है, और नीज ये कि एक मुनफरद तनाजुर में माहौलियाती मसाइल को हल करने की तहकीक में मदद फराहम की। पाकिस्तान में रहते हुए उन्होंने कौमी माहौलियाती तहरीक में बहुत बड़ी तरक्की देखी है।
During the 1980s, there was a lot of positive energy around understanding some of the environmental challenges in Pakistan. There was a rise of civil society around environmental issues. For example, the World Wildlife Fund had one of their largest operations in Asia in Pakistan in the 80s. IUCN, the World Conservation Union, had a huge field office in Pakistan, which also emerged in the 80s. It was a time when, you know, you could really feel that need for environmental action. There was a drive to try and solve those problems.
گوشت کی پیداوار اور کھپت کا یہ دائرہ ذمہ دار ہے بہت بڑی مقدار میں انسانوں کی پیدا کردہ گرین ہاؤس گیس کے اخراج کے لیے۔ ماضی میں حکومت پاکستان نے گوشت کا ناغا کے دن مقرر کیے، جنہوں نے ماحول کے لیے غیر معمولی فائدہ پہنچایا۔
Actually, there were 2 days which were meatless days in the week, and no meat was allowed to be sold during those days. Mm-hmm. It was partly aimed at reducing overall meat consumption because the economy just could not sustain that level of meat production, and to get people consider other markets as well for vegetable goods and so on. And I think it was effective. I felt that it was very ecologically responsible, even though the government may not have intentioned it to be that way, but it had a positive impact, and I didn't feel deprived in any way. So I hope that, you know, people can make an individual choice to not consume more meat, but if it doesn't happen individually, I think government can nudge people in the right direction mm-hmm. by having such provisions. And Pakistan's neighbor India, of course, is a Hindu majority country, and most Hindus do not eat meat at all. They're entirely vegetarian. And I have also noticed that Muslims in India, they consume much less meat than Muslims in Pakistan, because there has been some positive, I think, cultural crossover there on that issue.
Pakistan mein is waqt logon ki falah o behbood ke silsile mein peshraft ho rahi hai bahut se maholiyati mansoobon ke zariye. Professor Ali ke mutabik,
the government has been moderately successful at some levels. They've tried to, for example, improve their agricultural practices a little bit. We've had a time when there was tremendous wastage of water, for example, in Pakistan, where there were several canals made that were not very well designed, and it led to salinity and waterlogging, and it's a highly agricultural country. The government has increasingly realized some of those problems. They're trying to address those.
Pakistan mein gair hukumti tanzeemein, bahut se idare aur log apne taur par ek ahem kirdaar ada kar rahe hain maholiyat ke bare mein jankari aur hifazat ke liye.
We do have a very strong social network within the country. Part of it has come out of necessity because we weren't getting many tourists, we weren't getting much foreign investment, and so people had to become self-reliant. So that did lead to these institutions evolving, and in some ways people have become very inventive. They've found ways, even environmentally, to lower their ecological footprint out of necessity. So for example, Pakistan has one of the highest prevalence of compressed natural gas being used in cars. There are about 2 million cars which are running on compressed natural gas rather than on petrol. Mm-hmm. And that's environmentally much better, of course. You have a lower carbon footprint. And that happened out of necessity because the cost of fuel became so high. People were able to, retrofit vehicles and find the technology on their own, more or less, to do this. Many times there was just the inventiveness of the people, and they did that. So in those ways, the country has been very resilient to be able to manage those issues.
جب ہم واپس آئیں گے تو پروفیسر سلیم علی بات کریں گے کہ وسائل کو استعمال کرنے اور ماحول کو بچانے میں ہم توازن کیسے حاصل کر سکتے ہیں. برائے مہربانی دیکھتے رہیے سپریم ماسٹر ٹیلی ویژن.
This is Salim Ali from the University of Vermont, and you're watching Supreme Master Television.
پروگرام زمین ہمارا محبت برا گھر میں خوش آمدید, جہاں ہمارے مہمان ہیں پاکستانی اسکالر پروفیسر سلیم علی جو امریکہ میں رہتے ہیں. وہ زمین کے معدنی وسائل کو محفوظ کرنے کے علوم میں ماہر ہیں.
In some cases we do need minerals for much of our modern lives, but they need to be harnessed with utmost care, and we need to be very aware of their non-renewability, that once the mining stops, you have to leave a viable ecosystem, a viable environment, so that people can then go back to some other livelihoods, and that the money that comes from the mining can be reinvested in the community. So it's part of a development trajectory, and that it's not just a be-all and an end-all where the companies just come in and get what they want and then they leave. So there is a right way to do it. So we're hopeful that there can be some best practices which evolve around how companies operate in communities. There are some examples which are emerging. For example, I was in Australia last year, and I visited one of the world's largest diamond mines, the Argyle Diamond Mine, which is in Western Australia. And the mine was developed after a very protracted negotiation between the indigenous people, the Aboriginal communities in that area, and the mining company. And the agreement involved some respect of sacred sites of the Aboriginal communities, ability of those communities to visit those sites, to have access, to also have some arrangements for revenue sharing in various ways. And so that's been a positive development. The agreement was one of the earliest, so it still needs to be refined, I think. But I think they're on the right track. Other examples you have are where indigenous communities are themselves owners of mines, and then they have a stake in making sure that the practices are better than they would be otherwise. So there's, for example, the Red Dog mine in Alaska, where it's native corporation in Alaska, the Nana Corporation, owns part of the mine, and it's a Canadian company, Teck Cominco, which manages it. And there are environmental challenges with that, but the community has a direct vigilance in terms of them living there. They're partly the owners of the mine, to be able to make sure that things are addressed. So that kind of arrangement can provide some safety nets for mining operations. It's very important to have good restoration plans. Once the mining stops, you have to be able to restore the landscape. That should be a cost of doing business. It's really something that the company has to be held accountable for.
پروفیسر علی قدرتی وسائل کے قابل تائید استعمال پر اپنی رائے مزید بیان کرتے ہیں.
In modern societies, we have to grapple with three competing goals. On the one hand, you have ecological conservation as an important goal, but the life support systems that sustain the planet in many ways are the fundamental base from which we have to operate. But then there are two other competing goals too. One is of poverty alleviation and inequality. We have to grapple with that challenge. And the third is the quest for democratic pluralism and individual choice at some level, that you need to be able to allow people to have some measure of choice. That choice can be regulated, it can be channeled appropriately through ethics, through government, through different social mechanisms. But that still remains an important goal that we aspire towards. When we are trying to balance these three,
اپنی حالیہ کتاب میں جس کا عنوان زمین کے خزانے ضرورت لالچ اور قابل تائید مستقبل ہے پروفیسر علی مادنی وسائل کے استعمال اور ماحول کی حالت کے بارے میں اور ان طریقوں کے بارے میں بات کرتے ہیں جن کو استعمال کر کے ہم زیادہ مؤثر اور زیادہ ماحول دوست نظام بنا سکتے ہیں.
You want to get rid of the term waste altogether in some sense, so that everything that is being used through its life cycle can then be channeled and reused in some form or another. Ultimately, the laws of physics will demand that you have to put in some energy at some point to be able to get that material out and reuse it in some form. That energy also then needs to be considered in sustainable terms. And that's the concept that I'm trying to get at, that don't just disavow consumption, but make it more responsible, make it more strategic, so that we can address those competing challenges that I mentioned earlier between poverty alleviation, ecological conservation, and individual choice.
پروفیسر سلیم علی کے بارے میں مزید معلومات کے لیے برائے مہربانی دیکھیے www.uvm.edu/tildashali. پروفیسر علی کی کتب دستیاب ہیں www.amazon.com. ہم شکریہ ادا کرنا چاہیں گے پروفیسر سلیم علی کا کہ انہوں نے ہمیں پاکستان میں آنے والے سب زندگی کی طرف رجحان کے بارے میں اپنی آرا سے آشنا کروایا اور دنیا کے معدنی وسائل کی قابل تائید کھپت کے بارے میں بات کی. برائے مہربانی اگلے بدھ کو ہمارا ساتھ دیں پروگرام زمین ہمارا محبت بھرا گھر میں پروفیسر علی کے انٹرویو کے دوسرے حصے کے لیے. آج کے پروگرام میں آپ کے رحم دلانہ ساتھ کے لیے شکریہ. آگے آ رہا ہے پروگرام بصیرت والی تحریر قابل غور خبروں کے فوراً بعد. دعا ہے کہ آپ کی زندگی جنت کی خدا داد محبت اور روشنی سے بھر جائے. تھینک یو فار یور کائنڈ کمپنی آن ٹوڈیز پروگرام. اپ نیکسٹ از انلائٹنگ انٹرٹینمنٹ آفٹر نوٹ ود دی نیوز. مے یور لائف بی امبوڈ ود ڈیوائن لو اینڈ لائٹ فرام ہیون.
فار مور ڈیٹیلز پلیز وزٹ www.suprememastertv.com/PE